WOL Washington, WPRS HD2 Waldorf, WKYS HD2 Washington, WMMJ HD2 Bethesda, celebrating 35 years of service to the community, where information is power.
Juice, Mom. Juice, juice, juice.
Mommy, why are we going to the store? Mom.
Mom, I want
Mommy.
Juice.
Mom.
Juice, juice, juice.
Mommy.
Juice, juice,
Mom.
Juice, juice, juice.
Your child will have different needs at different stages of life, and that includes the car seat. That's right, the car seat. A car seat isn't one size fits all. You have to have the right seat based on your child's age, weight, and height. See, car crashes are a leading killer of children ages 1 to 13. But there's a website that gives you all the information you need. safercar.gov/the right seat. You'll find out about types of seats, when to have a seat rear-facing, when to switch it to forward-facing, when it's time for a booster seat, and when it's time for your child to ride in the back seat with a seatbelt. Protect your child's future at every stage of life. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat. That's safercar.gov/the right seat.
A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. You're neutral to it. You hear it every time you finish a meal and never feel anything. But if we were able to associate this sound with a new stimulus, save the food, we've achieved pulling a natural response from you. Save the food. Why are we doing this, you may ask? Save the food. Because this ad is trying to change your after-meal behavior through brainwashing. Because food waste costs the average family $1,500 a year. Save the food. Cha-ching. And $1,500 extra is like getting a pay raise. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Which could pay for your child's braces. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Check out my braces.
So when you hear this sound, rethink your behavior. Cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit SaveTheFood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.
Of course I want our kids to eat fresh, healthy foods all the time. But we don't have a supermarket nearby, so it's a challenge.
I wish we were closer to good health care because of our son's asthma. Frankly, it's scary at times.
I'd love for our family to live in a nice house near a great school, but...
But none of these resources exist in our neighborhood.
Many variables can shape the outcome of children's lives, like the zip code where they grow up. That's because not all communities have the same opportunities, such as quality schools and housing, fresh food, and good health care. There are many ways to improve communities so everyone has a fair chance. Regardless of zip code, you can make a difference. Join with HUD and local leaders to improve your community. Learn how at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Fair housing, shared opportunity in every community. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
News Talk 1450 WOL AM, where information is power.
The views and opinions of the following show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of News Talk 1450 WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.
Okay. Welcome. Welcome to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I am your host, Attorney Ethel Mitchell. I am broadcasting live today from Fort Worth, Texas. I'm actually in Texas, and I am very pleased to bring to you an outstanding program today. But first, I have to say, this is Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. We believe here that the law is definitely powerful. It can help you, or it can hurt you. It impacts everything you do. What you don't know can hurt you, and what you do know can empower you. We've got two giants in the law ready to talk to you about the law this morning. We have Judge Lewis Stearns and Judge Clifford Davis, both outstanding jurists in the state of Texas, who are going to be with us live today to talk to us, to educate us, to empower us about the law, because they really, really know it. And so I'm not going to do the usual long introduction like I do sometimes. Instead, I want to just tell you a little bit about these two men. Judge Stearns received his bachelor's degree from Wichita State and his Juris Doctorate from the University of Kansas School of Law. He currently serves on the bench as a judge in the 213th District Court in Fort Worth, Texas. He has served as a judge on the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals, the Criminal District Court No. 1, Tarrant County, and the Criminal District Court No. 2, Tarrant County. He was also a judge in the U.S. Army. In private practice, he has worked diligently throughout his life in many areas of the
You're listening to the most powerful voice in talk radio, 1450 WOL, where information is power.
This show has been previously recorded. No phone calls, please.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to mooch off your friends.
You gonna finish that grape?
You mean the one in my mouth?
Hello?
You don't need to stop buying the necessities.
Hello? This is Attorney Ethel Mitchell. I think we had some technical difficulties there. But I'm calling you live from Texas, and we have a wonderful program for you. We have Judge Stearns. Welcome, Judge Stearns. Are you on the line there? Hello, yes, this is Attorney Ethel Mitchell. I'm not sure what's going on, but I'm having some difficulties. I'm calling in from Texas. I have Judge Stearns. Is Judge Stearns on the line? Oh, okay, we're having difficulties right now. But we have Attorney Judge Louis Stearns from Texas and Judge Clifford Davis are our guests for this morning. Something happened and we got disconnected, but we're going to get them back on the line very shortly. Okay, very good. Judge Stearns?
Yes, I'm
good
here.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Thank
you
so much. I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you so much for being our guest this morning.
I am delighted to be your guest again, Ethel.
Yes, yes, yes. I was just telling my audience a little about you, that you are presently on the bench in the 213th District Court in Fort Worth, Texas, that you served on the highest court of criminal appeals here in the state of Texas as well. And in private practice, you did many things, but particularly criminal defense work. You've gotten a lot of awards over the years. You've been awarded so many civic awards that I'm not even going to try and list all of them, but you've dealt with death penalty cases, you've dealt with police cases, both from the juris side as well as from the legal side. So thank you very much. Is Judge Davis on the line with us as yet? Hello? 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 Is Judge Stearns there?
I'm still here, but...
Okay, Judge Davis? Hello? Oh, okay, okay, all right. Well, Judge Stearns, let's go on and get started with you, because we're having some technical difficulties this morning, but hopefully Judge Davis can join us again. Just let us know when he's on the line, please. Okay, thank you very much. Now, you know Judge Stearns. I have got to ask you about this case in Texas that everybody's seeing on the television with this policeman and this woman, and it appears as if he's manhandling her daughter because she called him in to stop her neighbor, this white man, from choking her 7-year-old son. It really looks
awful. It looks terrible. It's infuriating. It is something that we are just all appalled about. I mean, can you say anything about that case?
Well, you know, I share the concern of all who have seen the video or the news clipping about that situation. However, as one of the 10 felony court judges in our county, I am restrained, I believe, from really commenting directly on that particular case because there's a possibility that it would and perhaps will be in my court. So I don't want to speak specifically to the facts of that case. And if Judge Davis is able to come on the line, perhaps he, as a former district court judge, can give you his insight on it. But let me just say this. It's always disheartening when we see incidents of police misconduct, wherever it takes place. It's always disheartening when we see a situation where citizens feel that they cannot place their trust in law enforcement. And I think we all have an obligation to try and work hard to foster better relationships between the police and the citizen, because quite frankly, we need the police, but we need good police. We need police officers who are interested in our communities, who are interested in making certain that people are safe and secure in their homes and their property and in their person, for that matter.
Yeah, I agree that we need them. We do, but we don't need them behaving the way it seems like they behave so often. What can we do about that?
Well, you know, obviously it's incumbent upon police departments and administration of police departments to enforce proper behavior among police officers. And I think it starts with training. I think officers have to be trained to be culturally sensitive. And I also think that we have to train our young people in particular how to conduct themselves when they are involved in these police encounters. As I tell young people all the time, you can be right, but sometimes it's best that you not be antagonistic there on the scene, because you're better off taking your complaint with internal affairs, taking your complaint out with your local attorney, but take an action that allows you to live another day, as opposed to take an action that maybe makes you feel good at the time, but actually causes you to be in danger. And so we have to be real careful. And you know, one of the problems here is that these officers are, quite frankly, afraid in many instances. And some of them do not have the right cultural awareness. Some of them probably come to the position with their own biases. And when they act out on the basis of their biases, it creates problems. So we have to be aware of this, and we have to be, we have to make sure that we don't do anything to make the situation worse. And of course, it's incumbent upon police officers to learn how to de-escalate these volatile situations. And what we see too often is that their conduct causes even more tension. So we just have to work on this.
Yeah, we definitely do. Tell me something. Who hires the police?
Well, police are hired by the police department itself. And, of course, in most Texas cities, we have a city manager form of government. And the police chief is hired by the city manager in consultation with the city council. And
who selects the city manager? Yeah.
Yeah, we have to make certain that we are engaged politically to elect people to the city council who have our community's interests at heart, because these are the people who will hire the city manager, who in turn will select the police chief, whose responsibility it is to assure that the laws enforced equally, and without distinction between various communities.
So if the community...
Equally and without distinction between various communities.
So if the community could control who the city council was, or whatever you call it here, the city manager is, and who's on the council, the local council, what do you call the local council?
Yes.
That's elected? Those are elected
yes.
positions, is that right? And I know in a lot of places, you have a large black community in these neighborhoods. Let's, because I want to get to who can fire these policemen. You know, I want to get to how we can do better with controlling them when we get back. Let's talk about that,
okay.
please. We've got to take a break right now, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
You're listening to the most powerful voice in talk radio, 1450 WOL, where information is power.
This is Reverend Al Sharpton. Saturday, January 14th, all roads lead to Washington, D.C. for the We Shall Not Be Moved rally and march. Civil rights, voting rights, police reform, jobs are non-negotiable. To sign up for buses and to help organize, go to nationalactionnetwork.net or call 1-877-626-4655.
LawTalk with Ethel Mitchell is sponsored by Equity Resource, a development, construction, and investment firm that is transforming properties throughout the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Our mission is to develop properties at a high level of value, a low risk of investment, while providing impeccable service to our customers. When you're ready to sell, renovate, or invest in a property, choose Equity Resource. Call us today at 202-621-6632 or visit our website, equityresource.net.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to mooch off your friends.
You gonna finish that grape?
You mean the one in my mouth?
You don't need to stop buying the necessities.
What you're smelling is a natural musk.
Ew.
You don't need to be a medical test subject.
How do you feel? Mostly okay. I... Sometimes, though.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman! Let's break for lunch.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell your soul to the devil.
$15 is the best I can do.
All right, deal.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn those earrings today. I like those earrings. Gabby has those awesome earrings. I need to ask her where she got those. But that's just what she would want me to do. I'll have Michaela ask her for me.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Yeah, but then Michaela will be like, why don't you just ask her yourself? That's just like Michaela.
Sarah, buckle up.
Michaela's such a great name. I wish I was called Michaela. There's like a dozen Sarahs in my class.
Hey, we're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh, yeah. Seatbelt. I forget sometimes because my brain is, like, busy, you know? I wonder if there's pizza at school today.
Sometimes it can be tough to get through to your kids, but it's not impossible. Always make sure they're wearing their seatbelts, even on short drives. Remember, you have the keys, you have the power. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
News Talk 1450 WOL AM, where information is power.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell.
Hello, Ms. Mitchell. This is Clifford Davis from Fort Worth.
Hello, the Honorable Judge Clifford Davis. Thank you so much for being on the line. Welcome to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I have to take a moment and just tell my audience what a great man we have on the phone with us today. We have Judge Louis Stearns already on the phone, and now we have Judge Davis. Judge Davis was is a graduate of Howard University Law School. He started in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I looked you up, sir, okay? And then you went, you came to Texas where you became licensed in 1954. He was one of only two black lawyers in the city of Fort Worth, Texas. He filed Jackson versus Rowden in the U.S. District Court in Dallas, which resulted in the desegregation of the Mansfield District School District, and later filed the case that resulted in the desegregation of the Tarrant County schools. And he worked with Thurgood Marshall on Brown versus Board of Education. Judge Davis, you are a giant in the field of civil rights law. Welcome to Law Talk. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much to be with you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Judge Stearns and I were talking earlier about the police and what can we do. You know, I had asked him about this video that's gone viral throughout the world, and I know my audience has seen it, of the police officer right here in Texas doing what appears to be terrible, acting very badly, not treating this black woman with respect at all, not acting as a police officer should in terms of responding to her request for help against her white neighbor who was assaulting her 7-year-old child, and instead ended up assaulting her. Now, Judge Stearns cannot speak to that case at all because it might come in front of him. Do you have anything that you would like to say about that case? Because it's very upsetting to everyone.
Let me start by saying I'm past 90 years of age, so I have lived in a period when segregation was tougher than it is at present. And back in the good old days, when a policeman came into our neighborhood, all policemen were white, and of course, you didn't know whether he was coming to enforce the law of the state or whether or not he was coming to enforce the will of the Ku Klux Klan. That was the attitude then. And to a great extent, to some extent, that is still there. You don't know whether he's coming to enforce the law of the state or whether he's coming to, in the name of the state, and ultimately his intent is to enforce the attitude of the white supremacists. So you can see when this man comes out there and you got some kind of disturbance between a black woman and a white man, you can see how, with that kind of attitude, he would accept the part and the attitude of the white man and always assume that he's
making it clear.
Right.
And thank you for making person, that clear.
That the black person is the one in the wrong. So that all too often is the situation.
Yes.
We don't know.
And
that does not mean that all police officers have that attitude, but there are some who have that attitude, and I suspect that they're proud of the fact that they have the protection of being a law enforcement officer. I suspect some of them go into law enforcement for that purpose, to be certain to try to perpetuate the take our country back attitude.
Right, right. And they got a man in the White House now who has as his chief of staff a man who is an avowed white nationalist, which is a new term for the white supremacist movement. You know,
yes, that is true.
You've got nominated
the man who is supposed to protect the civil rights of people as Attorney General, who is an admitted, has another attitude.
That's right, Jeff Sessions. Absolutely. We know he's not acting in our best interest at all. He has already said that he's going to dismantle a lot of what, as much as he can, of the police agreements that were reached by the Department of Justice that have given us some kind of relief. So what do we do, Judge Davis? What do we do? What can we do as a community? What can we do?
Well, let me say it this way. I am sympathetic with
both the police and the black march group. But what we meet yesterday, the police, the community has to have law enforcement people because we've got to see to it that people abide by the law, and we've got to separate those who don't want to abide by the law from those of us who do. So that
I
want policemen. The community needs policemen.
Now, we all agree on that. Yes.
What we need is a fair administration of the law. Fair administration of the law and enforcement. What we need to do is, and now I'm fixing to take sides with the Black Lives Matter people, we need to know that the person who is going to do you harm is the person who is nearest to you. That's the local city government. So that we need to be active in the policymaking agencies at the local level, so that we need to get be certain that some of our people are people who express our concerns around every table where policy is made. We've
every
got to
table.
Elect people, and we've got to have that same group of people who are doing all the protesting get out here and inform our people that we have a civil responsibility to see to it that our people, people who are concerned about fair play for all citizens, are around the table everywhere policy is made and enforced.
Well, that's good. I like that.
The protesters need to add that as a part of their movement.
With their movement. Judge Stearns, do you want to say something here? Yeah.
Sure, let me add something with that. And I totally agree with what Judge Davis has said. And, you know, coming from him, he's an icon in this community for his involvement in civil rights as well as involvement in making certain that the communities come together. But not only must we be actively engaged in the election of local governing bodies, we have to also be willing to come forward and serve on juries because... And that's been a pet peeve of mine for some time, that we complain about the criminal justice system. But when we have an opportunity to actually play a part in the criminal justice system, we look for a reason or excuses not to serve. We need African-Americans on juries. Those jurors are very important. They decide whether a person is guilty or not, and some of those cases do, in fact, involve police officers who may or may not be given truthful testimony, who may or may not be acting properly. So we need our people to step up to the plate and serve on juries as well as go to the polls and vote for people who have their best interests at heart.
Their best interests at heart, Well, I always say if you are alive and breathing and over 18 and eligible to vote, you need to vote wherever it is that you live. If you have Obamacare, you need to vote. If you're on welfare, you need to vote. If you have any kind of job, you need to vote. If you don't have a job, you need to vote. You know, and you need to, like you all are saying, really participate. Yes, sir, Judge Davis.
If you are a citizen, you need to vote every time there is an election of any nature. Every time,
Every time, not just
let me mention one other thing in this law enforcement thing. We need to take a look at prosecutors as well as judges who look the other way when this is happening. Because prosecutors, there are many instances where prosecutors won't even file on these acts of brutality.
I think that's the most frustrating part for a lot of us. We see the police misbehaving. They don't get they don't get fired. In fact, sometimes they get promoted. So it doesn't look like there's any justice against them. That's what it looks like. When we come back, because we have to take another break, about every 15 minutes, so we have to take a break. But we're going to come back, and then we're going to open up the lines if people want to call in and ask questions to you all.
and we'll continue the conversation. We'll have to take a break. Thank you.
You're listening to the most powerful voice in talk radio, 1450 WOL, where information is power.
The live recording of the TV show Grown Folks Dancing, and you are invited. Calling all line dancers from Maryland, Virginia, D.C., Delaware, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. Represent. Show off your group or step. You can even bring your own music. You've seen the show on TV. Now be a part of it. Show your skills and just have fun. Proper attire required. No blue jeans, t-shirts, or athletic gear. Dress like grown folks and come on out. For more info, call 443-857-2771. That's 443-857-2771. It's the live recording of the TV show Grown Folks Dancing, and you are invited.
Hi, this is the Moon Man. All you dance lovers, be sure to join us for our next TV taping dance party, the second Sunday of each month at the American Legion Post 71, 905 Schlager Avenue in Silver Spring, Maryland, next to the bus station. Dance party starts at 5 p.m. Don't miss it. It's going to be a big one.
Tis the season to enjoy Sprint's new unlimited plan with the third, fourth, and fifth lines for free. Get unlimited mobile-optimized data, talk, and text for only $100 a month for a family of five when you bring your number to Sprint. That's five lines for only $100 a month. A plan like this with AT&T would cost you over $200 a month. And Verizon, they don't even have an unlimited data plan. No more worries about running out of data or surprise overcharges. Switch to Sprint today. Visit a Sprint store, sprint.com/freedom, or call 1-800-SPRINT-1.
Lines 3 through 5 free until 1/31/18. After pay an additional $30 per month per line. Prices with auto pay, coverage and offer not everywhere for discounted phone subject to credit and $30 activation fee. Excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, and premium content. Limited through video up to 480p, music up to 500 kilobits per second, and games up to 2 megabits per second. Prohibited network use rules apply and data deprioritization during congestion. AT&T plan not an exact match. See carrier website for details. Restrictions apply.
News Talk 1450 WOL AM. Where information is power.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You're listening to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I'm your host, Attorney Ethel Mitchell, and we have Judge Lewis Stearns and Judge Clifford Davis, both from Texas, on the line. I understand from my radio engineer that we have a caller on the line. Good morning. May we help you?
Yes. I want to make a couple of quick points. I hear you all saying vote, and I don't disagree with that. But a lot of times when we vote and get people in places, they go the opposite. For example, from my understanding, the judge in the Freddie Gray trial was African American, and from my understanding, he did a lot of things that, you know, went against the prosecutor, not saying that he should have favored the prosecutor. Another point is in the South Carolina case where the officer shot a black man 8 times in the back, they had it was an African-American judge. There was a juror on the case that said, in good conscience, I cannot convict the officer. And you can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't really know. That's why I'm asking. But at that point, the African-American judge had the opportunity to replace that juror with an alternate juror, but failed to do so, if that is true, and it resulted in a hung jury. So a lot of times, we work against ourselves. And the last thing I'll ask is this, and then I'll hang up and take your answer off on the radio. What is a writ of mandamus? And how does the vicar general play into a writ of mandamus? And how can that be used to make government agencies do what they are supposed to do? I'll hang up and listen to you. Thank you.
Okay. Judge Davis, Judge Stearns?
I'll try to answer this question. I think it's fair. First of all, I'll take the last question. What is the writ of mandamus? A writ of mandamus is a legal proceeding requiring that someone, be it a judge or be basically a judge, though, perform a mandatory duty. It does not apply if it's a discretionary duty, but if it's something that is mandatory by law and the judge refused to do it, then you can apply for and obtain a writ of mandamus. It's very rarely used, but it only applies when there's a mandatory duty to do something. Now I want to address this issue in South Carolina because he spoke about the fact that there was a juror who said that he could not convict. And the caller seemed to believe that once that juror said that at that point the judge had the discretionary authority to simply replace that juror. That is not true. Okay, that a judge can't do that during the course of a trial. Alternate jurors are in place only when a juror becomes disabled or is unable to perform the duties of a juror, not when there's a disagreement. And, of course, in this situation in South Carolina, that juror was on the jury. He decided that he would not vote to convict, but the judge did not have authority to replace him at that point in time.
I see. If he had said that when they were selecting the jury,
right,
then maybe he could have been replaced. Could the judge replace him even then?
Well, if he had said that during the jury selection, then it would have been the duty of the prosecuting attorney to use one of his strikes or challenges for cause to eliminate him from the panel, from the jury.
I see. Okay.
Not after he'd already been impaneled and selected and sworn as a juror.
Okay.
So whether you can remove a person from the jury depends upon the status of the trial at which the problem arises.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do either one of you all want to take a stab at the caller's frustration at when we do vote? It seems like he's saying, sometimes people get in office and they still don't look out for the best interests of our community.
Let me say this to you.
Okay, I'll take the caller after Judge Davis responds to that, please.
Before election, you should investigate the person's history and find out what his or her general attitude is with reference to instances of facts or issues that will come before them. And, of course, once if they are elected and change their attitude, of course, that's why you have elections pretty often. Replace them.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good.
You need to know something about the attitude of the person when you vote them in office.
Right. That's good. I understand we have another caller on the line. Hello?
Yes. Good morning. Thank you, Attorney Mitchell, for having a wonderful program. I'm with one of the march groups that the judge is alluding to, and I am the Minister of Justice working with some of that. And I had a question concerning referendums in general, but specifically, would he support a referendum if you can't get justice through a system? The march groups are not the only ones upset about the killing of black men and women by law enforcement, by paid law enforcement. And a referendum could bring about the right support and the right language, a form of a mandatory sentencing. Someone is killed in a declared case of abuse of authority or unnecessary use of force in those examples. What would he do and what can he do to see that the referendum is worded correctly? And if so, would he support such a mandatory sentencing, producing a mandate that would cause a officer, if he's in a severe neglect of duty and clearly he's murdered someone or a police homicide situation, would he support a referendum? And how would we structure that referendum to get it passed for a federal law and our
Yes, that's my question. So what would he do? Especially Judge Davis, who he's been most outspoken on many issues, and I'm very familiar with Texas law. I had a lot of time put into Houston, and I did work for Honorable Thurgood Marshall. So with that said, what would he do to secure a referendum in favor of we the people?
Thank you. Okay, Judge Davis?
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm not sure all of the procedure. You can, of course, try a recall election for the person elected to an office who is not following, who is mismanaging his responsibility. That's one remedy for that individual. But as far as the referendum to get an issue put on there, you've got your state may provide some kind of procedure to get an issue on the ballot. I don't know. It would depend on whatever the law is in your individual state.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is if the it sounds like the caller was suggesting that there may be a way to get better laws on the books that would call for like automatic sentencing when a policeman is convicted or something like that of such a heinous crime, or at least get him fired or something like that. And Judge Stearns, do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, I'm trying to analyze the question, and I guess the first thought that comes to my mind is that if you want to change the law, then you start with your state legislature. Or if you want to change the federal law, you start with Congress. But anytime you're drafting legislation, you have to be mindful of the fact that the law has to have a certain amount of flexibility, because every factual situation is different. Personally, I am somewhat reluctant to embrace the idea of mandatory sentencing for any crime, for that matter, because it takes away the discretion that I think judges and jurors need in determining what appropriate sentence should be handed down in a particular case, because cases are all different. Every case I've ever handled has some factor in it that distinguishes it from another case, and I just don't think you want a system where you don't have some discretion to fashion appropriate sentence. Now, to me, what you really want to do is make certain that you have people enforcing the laws who have the ability to analyze the case and determine what is the appropriate sentence for that particular set of facts.
Am I still online with you all?
Yes, sir. Yes, you are. Yes, you are, just David.
Yes. My premise is to put forth to Ronald Reagan. Senator Ronald Reagan was challenged, and he took the stipends and money out of the mental health situation. And 40% of these killings, I've had an opportunity to research some, and my findings are that 40% of these killings have been mental health patients. Added to that, during the Ronald Reagan era, there was a air traffic controller strike, and Ronald Reagan threatened to fire anyone who was black, white, or was not out of sight by midnight on Monday morning, they would be fired. And most people thought he was exaggerating or not very serious. And he made them take him seriously. He fired all of them and retrained many of the air traffic controllers and kept it moving, and he's on record for not really losing a passenger. But with that said, in my premise and in my experience as being military trained, I believe that I can train an officer to enforce a PSA, I mean a public service area, and bring a suspect in alive. I can train an officer to do that. I think much easier and quicker than Ronald Reagan could train those air traffic controllers. So with that said, being it's put on much Reaganism, in that spirit of Reagan, would they be willing to clean house in some of these and replace some of the what we know is bad law enforcement, had reputation on the records, and you judges try these cases every day, and those that have those records, can we do a clean? Is it in, can we pick a region of the country, a city, a state, or a township that say we can clean house and put the community law enforcement off, what you call peacekeeping officers? At one point, he was called Officer Friendly that bought the uniforms for the baseball team or for the basketball or the flag football guy. was known for helping Mama get bingo down the street. But he has, in the President Barack Hussein Obama, the transitional transformation, somehow officer-friendly or user-friendly police enforcement has transformed into something that they feel is a killer or homicide loose in the black community. So we want to know what enforcement has transformed into something that they feel is a killer or homicide loose in the black community. So we want to know what we'd be willing to do to say that we could clean house, do the Ronald Reagan, and retrain officers. They are committed to something that's willing to kill the citizens and not have any recourse. In other words, Giuliani Network, some of the Trump's network feel you don't have due. If your son, Judge Davis and Attorney Mitchell, was killed by law enforcement on your street, he said that you don't even deserve due process of the law for your son, that the case shouldn't even be tried. And he's used as a premise to say, because the law enforcement numbers are not as high as the community numbers, and therefore we don't deserve due process. So what would we
try to respond?
I really think, we got to respond to that, but we got to take a break too. But when we come back, we're gonna let the judges respond to that.
Thank you so much.
When we come back.
God bless you.
Okay, definitely.
Your family.
All right. Yes, sir.
You're listening to the most powerful voice in talk radio, 1450 WOL. Where information is power.
The IRS doesn't mess around. If they want your money, they'll take it. They can take your paycheck and bank accounts too, even threaten your home or business. And it's about to get worse. The IRS just hired an army of new tax enforcers. So if you owe back taxes, the smartest thing you can do is call Optima Tax Relief. Optima has access to a special IRS tax assistance program called the Fresh Start Initiative, and their clients that qualify are saving thousands, even tens of thousands. One call starts the process to stop the demand letters, stop aggressive collection actions, and stop that army of new enforcers from targeting you. But don't delay. It's important that you act while you still have options. Optima is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau and offers a one-of-a-kind guarantee. Get your life back. Call now for your free consultation.
Call 800-845-8122. 800-845-8122. 800-845-8122.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
One company is on a mission to put 1 million people to work each year. Sounds like a big number, doesn't it? Not to Express Employment professionals seeking a skilled labor position or administrative work. Maybe you're an executive looking for a career that fits.
Good morning, everyone.
We take pride in connecting the right people with the right company. Express Employment Professionals is on a mission to put 1 million people to work each year. Let us help. We'll open doors for you. Go to expresspros.com to find a location near you.
Well, Jason, I've got to tell you, you're pretty much everything this company is looking for in an entry-level candidate.
Great.
Your resume isn't quite what we're used to, but you've got a fantastic work ethic.
Thank you.
And I'm impressed by how you carry yourself.
So, should we talk about the job?
What, the job? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have no way of recruiting or even meeting you. This interview didn't happen.
It may sound ridiculous, and that's because it kind of is. There's a huge pool of talent your company is missing out on. Meet the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Man, we really could have used him.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
News Talk 1450 WOLAM, where information is power.
Welcome back. You're listening to... Welcome back. You're listening to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I'm your host, Attorney Ethel Mitchell. I'm your host, Attorney Ethel Mitchell, and we have on the line Judge Louis Stearns and Judge Clifford Davis. We're broadcasting live from Texas, and we just had a very provocative subject raised, and I really would like to hear your responses to it. Judge Davis, you first, please, sir.
Well, there's an element that we must always observe, and that's the element of due process, so that when an officer is charged with an offense, he is entitled to due process just like every other person charged with an offense. Now, let me suggest some kind of remedies that we might have. We can become advocates that a part of the training program of police departments include a segment on this issue of the disparity between treatment of the races, and some kind of way to monitor that, to see to it that, one, all law enforcement people are given counsel on techniques of handling that so as to minimize those kinds of incidents. And when that happens, we need fair investigation of the department, and I suggest that we ought to have a civilian board rather than an inside job of an investigation of the conduct of the police. And the conduct that is existing in a community. In the second place, we need to have observation over prosecution, whether or not they are doing due process, because the prosecution has a responsibility for a fair application and prosecution of those who do wrong in the community. And the judge has a responsibility to see to it that a fair trial with due process is conducted in his court. So we need to take a look at all of those. And one other thing we need to take a look at, when a law enforcement person gets in a problem over in one city, and because of this kind of an issue, and resigns or is fired, he shouldn't be able to go to the city next door and resume his position as a law enforcement officer. There ought to be some kind of a way that once you get tagged as an abusive person in one city, you can't go to another city and get employment in, as a legal law enforcement person. That's my suggestion.
Yeah, and isn't that also a what you're talking about is those who are in leadership have to establish a culture of what they will accept and what they will not accept. And just
right.
Like we say that cops who are on the take, as they used to say, are subject to receiving bribes and so on like that, they're not wanted in the police force. You know, it is known that that is not an acceptable type of behavior in the police force. And there are ways of getting them out. There's investigation, there are internal affairs, there's all kinds of stuff like that. Couldn't there be something like that when it comes to race relations, where police departments could set a standard and say, we're not going to put up with that kind of behavior? And I mean, that's not something that you yes, legislation can help, and yes, but it's a culture, it seems to me, and it takes black and white police officers, the majority of whom I do believe are honorable men and women, but it takes them stepping up individually when they see somebody acting in what is clearly a racist and an abusive manner and saying, hey, look, man, we don't want that here. We're not going to allow that here. You know, and I think that's what we don't see happening. We just see them getting a slap on the wrist or saying, you know, oh, due process becomes an excuse for not doing anything. And that's what that's what my frustration is.
That's why I suggest that you have a civil board other than just the law enforcement.
And the police aren't going to want to do that.
That decision. We need an independent board making some of the decisions with reference to this issue.
Judge Stearns, you were trying to say something.
There are some systemic issues here that prevent us from reaching the point that we really want to reach in terms of police-community relations. And one is the lack of civilian review boards in most cities. Another one is the fact that police have been able to rely upon the Civil Service Commission to reinstate them, even when the police chief quite often impose discipline. At least I've seen that in our town here. Police chief will impose some disciplinary measure because an officer has not conformed to the standards set by the department. And then his decisions are overturned by the Civil Service Commission. So that has to be taken a look at. And then finally, I think we have to try to get more officers who reflect the makeup of the community in which they serve. For example, over in Dallas, one of the things that former police chief Brown did was he actually went out and saw black recruits, African-American recruits, for the police department. I think we need to really try to do that, because that way we can have some people there who share your values and who understand your culture and who, quite frankly, will be trying to uplift the people as opposed to seeing themselves in the role of being an enforcer.
Totally agree on that. Gosh, this time always goes so quickly. It really does. Judge Davis, are there some final words you'd like to leave with my audience, please? Because I think the community is looking for leadership, and they're looking for guidance, and especially young people. I mean, I would love to see young people with all these different technological things that they have. I'd love to see an organization that really became a watchdog on the local council, city council people, the local police departments. I mean, like, really, you know, they Twitter and tweet and do all this other stuff. Well, find out, who is it that's closing down the election places, the polling places in our neighborhoods, and tweet it out there. Get the names out. Who voted to suppress our vote? Who voted to make it easy for police to get off? Or whatever it is that's against our best interest in our community, get the word out as to who exactly is an elected official who's supporting the things that are making it harder for us to really get justice in our community, and then work with organized people who are getting people out to vote to make changes effectively. Because until we see police being fired or punished at the very least by the Justice Department, the justice system, I should say, because I don't believe in just relying on the feds, generally in our neighborhoods, it's going to be very frustrating.
Let me say one thing. We have been talking about civil rights all of these years, and I want us to continue to advocate for civil rights. But somehow, somebody needs to be raising the question and introducing into the conversation civil responsibility. We have a responsibility to participate in community affairs and participate in organizations in the community that are trying to look out for the general welfare of the community. You can call a meeting. The city councilman can call a community meeting, and sometimes 20 people, 20 to 25 people in the whole community will show up. That means
that's a good point.
Majority of the people won't even come to get information. That's a responsibility. You have a responsibility to be informed so you can act intelligently, so you can know what's happening and act intelligently in support of the community effort to correct what deficiencies or defects or conditions in your community. I highly recommend that we become active participants in every organization or many organizations in the community designed to look out for the general welfare.
Very good. I think that sums it up perfectly. It really does. I want to thank both of you for coming on. Judge Stearns, do you have something very quickly? We only have two more minutes that you'd like to add to that, because that was just perfect. Yes.
Well, let me just say this. Judge Davis is not just talking. He actually does the walk himself. At age 92, this gentleman, he is still active in this community. He attends every meeting of the Mary L. Flipper Davis Legal Society. He attends meetings of all sorts of organizations for community improvement. So he's not just talking the talk, he's walking the walk.
He's making a difference.
I think that's what we all must do. And he just set a fine example for all of us. An example of activism and an example of concern for our communities. What we all want is to make certain that at the end of the day, our young people are saved and secure.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, thank you. Thank you both. Thank you both so much for being a part of Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. And I wish everybody a very good Christmas. And listen in next week, and we'll have another good program for you.